Somebody say, well, you know, the master, he was unfair, right? He gave one guy five, he gave another one two, and another one one. He was unfair. Let me tell you something. All three of them got jacked, right? All three of them got paid. All three of them got a lot of money.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Stewardship, Your Talents. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Stewardship, Your Talents.
There was an expectation on the part of the master that the servants would invest what was given to them. The servants with five and two talents went out and invested them. We are told that the servant with five talents, it says that he went and traded them. The word traded comes from the Greek word ergasato, which means to do business. That he went out and he did business with the talents. Now, I got in my study, I actually got hung up on this. And I couldn't move beyond it because I was asking myself the question, what exactly did they do? How did they multiply their talents? And so I kept reading. I read commentary after commentary. I went online, and nobody was saying how they multiplied their talents. And so I figured, since I'm somewhat of a jackleg theologian, that I would come up with some things, some ways that I thought that they multiplied it. So I put them here in your notes. We are not told what business he did. Maybe he bought more oxen, which helped increase productivity. So, you know, maybe, you know, he invested in some more oxen that helped him to produce more, which helped him to double the investment. That was a thought that I had. You know, I was in Africa, and one of the things that I saw in Africa was that these young men would have these containers of charcoal, and they would be selling charcoal because people over there don't have, didn't have electricity, didn't have stoves, and the only way they could light a fire was with this charcoal. So I was thinking, well, you know, back then, you know, people didn't have electricity, so maybe he invested in charcoal and sold that so that people could burn charcoal. They could maybe even have the fire starter, something that would help them to start the fire. You know, just a thought. The other thought that I had was maybe they took their money and invested the occupation that Jesus had, carpenter. They invested it in carpentry. And when they invested it, you know, they were able to, you know, maybe get a couple carpenters started and get more and more, and they drew on the investment that they made. So that was my summarization of how they may have gotten a return on their investment. But the fact of the matter is that the master expected them to invest it. God has given you a gift. He said that a light that's hid under a bushel is no good. That if you have taken your gift and you are not using your gift, you are not out here taking that ability and you are using it, yeah, you can use it to make a living. Nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that natural ability to use it and make a living. But how are you investing that same ability in God's kingdom? How are you enhancing the kingdom of God with this natural ability that God has given? The next thing. Oh, there was a day of reckoning, right? There was a day of reckoning. And we see that in verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and he reckoneth with them. And so He held them in account. And my first message in this series was on accountability. And we need to realize that whatever we have been gifted with, whatever talent that we have, that one day we're going to have to stand before God Almighty and give an account with what we did with the talent that he blessed us with. I mean, again, absolutely nothing wrong with using your talent to earn a living. Nothing wrong with that. But if that's all that you're using it for, then you're consuming it upon yourself. And it's not enhancing the kingdom of God. And that one day, you know, I often tell people, you know, how in the world do you think that, let me just go back to the message last week on time. How in the world do you think that you can live on God's green earth, breathe air for however long you are here, take up space, and leave and die, and that be it? No. You have to give an account for your time here on this earth. And so you have to give an account of the gift that God has blessed you with. Let's go to the next slide. Let's look at the servants who doubled their talents. First of all, wow, they were identified as good and faithful. They were identified as good and faithful. So let's look at the notes. These servants heard the words that every servant of God should long to hear. I don't care who you are. If you are a servant of God, if you are a mathematician, if you are a computer analyst, if you are a father, if you are a mother, no matter what it is, that when you stand before the Lord, you should want to hear him say, well done. Well done. Just like I like my steak. Well done. You know, it's interesting that this phrase, well done, in the Greek is two letters, E-U. Ooh. Now, you know, that if you think about a funeral and when they get ready to get to the sermon part, it's called a what? Eulogy. That means you say something good about the person. And so when you get to heaven and you stand before God, I don't know what the language of heaven is, right? Somebody said it's Hebrew. Somebody said it's Greek. Somebody said it's a common language that we all know. But if it's Greek, soon as I get into heaven, when I bust into heaven and I stand before God, I want to hear him say, ooh, well done. Well done. You used what I gave you in a way that I was pleased. And notice here that, in other words, excellent job. Good and faithful. Let's look at these two words. Good. The word, it means beneficial. Faithful means that you are reliable and you are dependent. That you were good, that means you were beneficial. That you somehow benefited God's plan and God's purpose. Good. Good. You were beneficial. You know, why some people get fired from jobs? Because they're not beneficial to the employer. And so the employer lets them go because they weren't beneficial. They weren't doing what they were supposed to do. Don't you want to stand before God and have God say, beneficial? That man, the fact that you were born and that you walked across the face of this earth, you were beneficial. You were beneficial. It was good that you did this. It was beneficial to others. It was beneficial to the kingdom. And notice, also, faithful. What is that? Reliable. Man, I could depend on you. Isn't that something? You know, when we think about us being imperfect beings, right? Somebody said this morning that God is infinite. We are finite. And the fact that an infinite God would say, You've been faithful. Man. I mean, I don't think when we get to heaven, we're going to be filled with pride. But there's going to be something within us when we hear God say, good, faithful. Ooh, man. I don't know about you, but just even thinking about it sends a chill through my body. It motivates me to want to live up so that I can hear those words when I stand before his presence. They were identified as good and faithful. The second thing, they were given more. It says that he doubled their talents. That when God sees his servants use their talents here on this earth, he will open doors for them to be used in even greater degrees. I mean, so, you know, we're bringing it from this financial analysis, you know, into the spiritual analysis. And to say that, you know, we might not get our talents doubled as far as the financial part is concerned, but when we use our talents to serve God in the natural, that God looks down and God says, look, here's somebody over here. You know, here's something over here. Here's a place over here. And so what does God do? God opens up doors where we can be a greater source of blessing with the talent and gift that we have. You know, I'll be honest with you. I've gone places and I've taught where there's been 5,000 people listening to me teach. And then I've gone other places, and there was two people. And you know what? I went at it just as hard with the two as I did with the 5,000. Why? Because I know that this was a door that God opened. Because I tried to be faithful and with the 5,000. Then, you know, I look at, you know, somebody say, well, he should have been giving you 10,000. Well, you know, maybe I'll get 10,000. But I looked at the two as being what? A multiplication of what God had given me. And you know, there are no small gifts in the kingdom of God. If you like that little lad who gave Jesus all he had, with the fish and loaf of bread, how the multitude were fed. What we have may not seem much, but when we yield it to the touch of the Master's loving hand, then you will understand how life will never be the same. If you just take what you got, God will multiply what you. He'll enable you to touch many more lives. And again, it's not necessarily the bigness of the crowd, it's the times that God uses you. See, because I know a lot of people that taught and preached the 5,000, and now they're a castaway. They're sitting, you know, somewhere doing something that God never called them to do. So see opportunities that God gives as he doubles. The next one. The servants who doubled their talents, they entered into the joy of the Lord. Wow. The joy of the Lord. Many people and commentators, as I read, they believe that the joy of the Lord was actually a banquet, and that after the master commended them for what they did, then he opened the door and he said, enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into this banquet feast that I have. And see, that's why a little bit later, and this is why some people say that. Look at the last verse in this passage, verse 30. it says about the wicked and slothful servant, it says, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. All right? Cast him outside of the banquet, into the night. And he'll be out there, what? Now, I know we take this for hell, but in this parable, you know, he'll be out there, what? Crying and gnashing his teeth. Why? Because he's not in the banquet. He's not in the banquet with everybody, with the other faithful servants. And so we need to realize that when we serve the Lord, that there ought to be a joy in our service. You ought to have joy in serving the Lord, using your ability, using your talent to serve the Lord. It shouldn't be, oh, man, here we go again. I got to go back. Y'all know the story that I told, man. I told this story at the New Year's Eve service, and I almost got somebody in trouble because they couldn't stop laughing. But I told y'all a story about the lady who was having a birthday party for her son. And she had got, you know, ordered some clowns to come to be the entertainment. The clowns never showed up. So the party was a dud. I mean, the kids were like, man, moping and groaning. So two homeless guys knocked at the door. And they said, is there something that we can do to earn some money? She said, well, there's a pile of wood out in back. You know, I'll give you $50 if you chop that pile of wood. And so the homeless guys went out there and started chopping the wood. All of a sudden, one of the homeless guys started doing backflips, somersaults, cartwheels, and the kids were going crazy. I mean, they were going crazy. Wow, look at that, you know, look at this entertainment. And so the other guy, he was out there rolling around on the ground, and the lady went out there and said, wow, that was great entertainment. Man, do you think that if I gave you another $50 that he could do that routine again? And the guy said, well, I don't know. I'll go ask him. The guy was rolling around on the ground, and he came over, and he said, man, that lady wants to know if you'll chop off another finger for $50. So, can you imagine the guy? What? Another finger? Another sacrifice? Are you crazy? Another sacrifice? And, you know, I wonder sometimes if that's not what the people of God do, right? When we are called on to use our talents and to use our gifts to serve a great and mighty God, if we don't say, oh, man, you mean to tell me again? I got to do that again? Another finger? Another sacrifice? But when you take joy in using your gift and your talent, that you can, all the time that you're using it, you're in the joy of the Lord. You're in the banquet. You're sitting in the banquet at the joy of the Lord. Let me finish. The next. The wicked guy, what did he do? He went and hid it. Now, John MacArthur gives us an interesting observation, so I'm not going to read that. But you know what he said? All the other guys went and invested it in something meaningful, right? And they doubled it. And the master says to him, look, bro, at the absolute minimum, you could have took it to the bankers. I mean, you did more work digging a hole and hiding it than you would have did if you'd have just took it to the bankers. And according to John MacArthur, he could have at least made 6% by taking it to the bankers. Right? He wouldn't hit it. Absolute waste. The servant who hid his talent, he called him wicked and slothful. And he lost the one talent that he had. Now, look at this. I thought it was interesting where it says that he was wicked. The servant, if you look in your notes, the servant was wicked. And why did he call him wicked? Because he told a lie on the master. He said, I knew that you were hard, man. The master wasn't hard. The master had blessed him with what, 82 days pay. The master was a gracious man. The master was, I knew you was a hard man. Right? He lied on the master. The master said, you are a wicked servant. Even if that's what you thought about me, this is what you should have did. And he was what? Lazy. Instead of taking that one and trying to get it out there and invest it, he dug a hole and hid it. And the sad thing is that he lost the one talent that he had. And when we think about how we've been blessed, yeah, we have to ask ourselves, are we a faithful, a good and faithful servant, or are we a wicked and slothful servant with the talent that God has given us? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, there's a lot to unpack in this passage. And Lord, I must confess that I probably just skimmed the surface on the meat that's in there. But Lord, I pray that I have extracted enough for us to look at our lives and see what we are doing with our gifts and talents, with our natural talents that we have. What are we doing with them? Father, I say it throughout the message that you have absolutely no problem with us using what you have blessed us with to earn a living. Absolutely no problem at all. But Lord, we do have to ask ourselves, how are we using that talent to advance your kingdom? How are we using that talent to build up your kingdom? That Jesus died and he said that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What are we doing to advance the cause, to advance the church of Jesus Christ? Lord, thank you for those that use their gifts and talents in your kingdom, in ministry for you. And so, Lord, we've been talking about stewardship of our time, talent, and treasure. And so, Lord, as we look at our talents, are we good stewards of the talents that you have blessed us with? As I said earlier, somebody will say, hey, man, this is something that I worked all my life to acquire. This is something that I got on my own. Well, we need to realize that it's God who lives and who causes us to live and move. Without him, we have nothing. And so, Father, we pray that we would recognize everything from your hand, even the gifts and the talents that we have. I mean, we can take either the biblical worldview or we can take the world worldview. And the world worldview says, this is mine. I got it on my own. I'm going to use it all for myself. You know, God don't have anything to do with this. That's the world mindset. And there's a lot of people, sometimes even Christians, that have the world mindset that this is for me, myself, and I. But Lord, when we get saved and we transfer into the kingdom, then we realize that everything that we have is an asset to the kingdom. And so, Lord, I pray today, whatever our gifts and our abilities, that we would dedicate some of our time to the kingdom work. Lord, I pray today that if there's someone here that has never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today that they might come and ask Jesus into their heart. If there's someone here today that is looking for a place to fellowship, worship, and this is where you've led them, Lord, we invite them this morning to come. Have your way, for in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Stewardship, Your Treasure. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Stewardship, Your Talents, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Stewardship, Your Talents. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Stewardship, Your Talents. your talents. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.